Chapter 2, Titus chapter 2. And verse number 1. We'll be reading that together, Titus chapter 2 and verse number 1. And then we'll jump down to verse number 9. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 1, it says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Exhort servants," verse number 9, "to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." Okay? And it was just recently that we were in Titus, and so there wasn't such a huge gap between then and now, but we're going to be talking about word-infused workers, okay? And you say, what's going on here? We're going to be dealing with how the gospel, how the word of God, how the doctrine of God, as we interact with the word, it's going to affect how we work, how we do, why we do what we do. Every single one of us, whether you work 80 hours a week, whether you work 100 hours a week as a stay-at-home mom, I don't know how many hours are in a week. Maybe I went overboard. Maybe that's just how it is, right? Or you're a retired person. Each one of these attributes that we're going to be talking today will affect how we do what we do and why we do it. Because we still do things, even as a retired person. In fact, for those that have retired, do you find yourself more busy than what you were before? Anybody in agreement? I got one amen out of that. Okay, yes. All right. It just seems like they are busy constantly. Whoa, they have so much freedom to go and do whatever they want. I don't believe that for a second, folks. I don't know. I don't know what your dream is for retirement, but it's probably not what you think it's going to be. Am I right about that for those that are retired? Okay. All right. So when you get into this, there's still things that you do, and you need to know why you do it. Now, in this section, when you get into verse number 9, it says exhort servants. Now, servants would have been, the term there would have been slaves. And you say, well, we've got a very bad thought about the term slaves, right? We already have our own thought process. What happens when somebody says slavery? We think America and what it dealt with, right? And most of that was negative. But yet slavery in the Roman world, some of it was negative and some of it was just a way of life. In fact, a lot of society was built off of slavery, but it was different. Slavery, in that sense, you had slaves that were in charge of other slaves and had their own slaves, and it was really just another job for a lot of people. It just different contract, okay? So you had different levels of slavery where some slaves were better off than free people. It's just very interesting how it worked, but their whole society was built off of that. If they lost that, Rome would not be what it would have been. So it was just like someone who's working there. Just how does that translate to us? It's just for those who are doing, for those who are working, how does the word of God, how does what God wants affect the way that we do what we do? These principles that we find in this scripture passage transcend time. Some people say, well, different circumstances, different principles. Not true. It might be different circumstances, but the same principles that God offers to us in relation to how the word affects us. The more that we're in the word, the more it affects us in doing what we do. And if you come in here today and you say, I don't have time for the word, the way that you work will be greatly affected. The why of your work will be greatly affected. And none of these things would make sense to you. None of these things would make sense to you if you say that I just don't have time for the Word. By the way, we have time. We just make time for other things, don't we? We just fill the time with other things. We get distracted very easily. And then does anybody ever struggle with this? Whenever you do get into the Word, you're distracted by everything else that's going on in life. And then you tend to start roaming in your mind. And then you've gotten a chapter and it's like, what did I just read? Anybody ever be there? Or is that just me? Okay? Some of you, all right? Some of you are in the same boat as where I'm at. So then you have to reread through the whole entire thing if you want to get anything out of it. It's not just a checklist. It's a love letter from God on how to live our lives. It's a redemptive plan. It's the way that affects our entire being. So here he says, exhort. You remember what exhort means? We've talked about this word quite a bit. Exhort is going alongside of someone. It's something that you're already acting out. It's something that you're already doing, and you're helping other people see what needs to happen by doing it and going alongside of them, not telling them to do something, but helping them by example and leading them along. Being that friend, that brother, that sister that everybody needs. So exhort servants, workers, slaves, to be obedient unto their own masters. What's the character trait that we find here in this first section? We find being submissive. Does anybody enjoy being submissive in here? Does everybody enjoy? I think we struggle with this. In fact, lately, it's quite funny. I think it's hilarious, okay? By the way, I wasn't planning on preaching today. Okay, I just wasn't. But this was next on my list. Do you know what we've been dealing with in Sunday school for the home builders class? Submission. The next class up, what have you been dealing with in your class? Submission. I guess we need this. I guess God is trying to tell us something. Submission should be a part of our life. And sometimes we get beaten up for submitting and doing what we are told. Have you ever been beaten up maybe not physically, but mentally, emotionally, you're beat up for doing what you're supposed to be doing? Has that ever happened to anybody? I can't believe you're actually paying attention to that person. He's a jerk. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's confused. Why are you obeying? Why are you submitting? That's stupid. You're just going up into a fetal position and just giving up. You just do everything that you're told. You're just a yes man. Da 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 da. I mean, we get mentally torn apart. Emotionally torn apart for the fact of actually submitting. There's a lot of people who will say, why are you submitting to this God that you never seen? Why are you giving in to him? Just be your own man. Be your own woman. Just stand up and do whatever you want to do. Why submit? Now, I told our Sunday school class today that it's kind of like the umbrella principle. When you're standing underneath God's umbrella, you're protected from the rain. The moment that you step out, you get drenched. Anybody try to get out in the weather on Thursday? I drove over to an establishment in town because I was supposed to meet for some spiritual thing going on, a Bible study, and I get there, and you know what happened? As soon as I got there, a downpour. So I'll just wait this out. There was no waiting it out, folks. Do you know what was happening with my truck? It was not falling apart because of all the rust, okay? All right, so calm down, okay? I don't need a tetanus shot to get in my truck either, so stop it. Dad, who's probably watching this. Okay. My truck was moving. And that wind, those gusts of wind, and I really couldn't see anything going on. And it just kept moving. I'm thinking, this is it. I'm getting taken home. This is it. That's better than a Bible study, right? You're getting taken home. It's just moving. And you know what? You know what? I texted the person that I was supposed to meet, and I was like, I'm just going to try to go for it. I'm just going to try to go for it. I opened up my door. I tried to stick my leg out. And I got a shower, folks, for the second time in that day. Just on my leg. It looked like something else going on. But I was like, nope, shut it. And then I went right back to the church, got underneath the awning. And it's so much nicer to get underneath an awning and then to try to get inside before I get blown away. And there's trees down everywhere. And I mean, just kind of crazy. What am I trying to illustrate to you? The fact that when you get outside of God's boundary, God's authority, you get hit. Why are we so surprised when we get hit when we step out from God's authority? And so we should be taking that and submitting to the doctrine of God, what he calls us to do. We should submit. Submission is not a cuss word. Submission does not negate you as a human being. Submission is just obedience to what God has called you to do. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in the workplace where you've heard this term. Somebody comes up to you and tells you, you need to do this. This is your job for today. Have you ever heard this? That's not my job. Anybody ever heard that? I didn't ask if you said it. Don't worry about that. I'm not asking for confession today, but we all know that's probably what we've done. Okay, that's not my job. Do you know that I got a promotion because somebody said that? Boss calls me in one day. Not here, okay? I didn't get a promotion today, all right? Okay. I was working at a senior living place, and I was the outside guy. And I only got 25 hours a week. By the way, it's hard to support your family on 25 hours a week. I'm just saying, okay? It was just really hard to do, all right? And I'm not complaining. It was just a statement. And so I had to do the outside. And whenever I was done with that, I had to come in and clean the bathrooms and do different things. And the boss calls me in and she says, "Hey, have you ever worked on a toilet before?" I'm like, oh, yes, this is so exciting. I am so pumped for this, guys. Yes, I love this, all right? No, I didn't do that. And I said, well, sort of, yeah, I've done it before. And I mean, what is it? What's going on? And I said, well, it's plugged. Okay, well, I'll go and try to work it out. That's fine. And they said, well, you know, if there's a problem with it, can you replace a toilet? Sure, yeah, my dad taught me how to do that. I've done it before. It's no sweat. It's disgusting, but no sweat. We'll get it done. And they said, oh, great, good, because the other guy said he can't do it. I said, really? And this guy is like 50-some years old. I'm thinking he's had to have replaced the toilet before. I said, yeah, I can do it, whatever you need me to do. Listen, I was looking for hours, folks. I wasn't looking for promotion. I was just looking for hours. I said, yeah. So I went and I ended up unclogging the toilet. And so I didn't even have to remove the toilet. And by the way, in the next break time that we went in, I get chewed out by the other guy saying, what are you saying? Why are you saying that you can replace the toilet? You don't get paid for that. What are you talking about, buddy? Well, I just quit. You got my job now. Sorry? I don't know what I'm going to tell you. I just answered my boss. That's all I did. I could do a job. I did a job. You know, that guy lost his job that day, had nothing. And I'm not trying to float my own boat, folks. I'm just trying to give you an illustration. When we tell our boss something that's not our job, we're not looking for the further furthering of the workplace that we work for. We're not trying to honor God in that situation. In that moment, we're saying, I am better than what you're trying to present to me. I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. I'm better than this. All of a sudden, somewhere, we got a lofty opinion of ourselves, didn't we? I don't get paid for this. I don't get paid enough for this. I imagine that there's some in the generation today that might be retired that got paid diddly squat for a lot worse than what we have to do. Well, I got paid 70 cents an hour at start, 15 cents an hour. Now what are they asking for? Submit. That's what he calls us to. Obey those that are over you. Now you say, what if it goes against God? Don't submit. God trumps our employer. God is over our employer. And if he's telling us to do something, what if they ask me to lie? Don't lie. What if it makes my job easier? Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't steal. And in fact, it goes on into more of that. So where does this start, by the way? Where does this start? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Let me read this verse for you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know where this submission starts? In the home. If you don't teach your child to submit to your authority as a parent, guess what they're going to do? They're going to walk out into their own independence and do the same exact thing with their employer. How come my child can't hold on to a job? I wonder if they're saying, that's not my job. I don't want to do that. I don't feel like it. I'm done. Where are we at, folks? I think this is stomping on my own toes just as much as it does all of yours. So I'm not trying to point at you and think that this doesn't affect me as well. All right? Submission. Learned in the home. Child grows into a citizen, an employee. Are they going to submit? The next one in verse number 9 says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things. To please them well into all things. What is this? I need to be committed to excellence. I want to do the best that I can be. The best that I can do. I want to be committed to excellence. I want to go above and beyond what is expected on the earthly realm. Why? Because I serve my God, and that motivates me to do what I need to do. So I'm not doing it excellent to serve myself. I'm doing it in an excellent way because I love my God, and he gave me this job. I want to do it in an excellent way. You know, many aspire to be excellent because there's a promotion coming, or there's a raise coming, or there's some other benefit that's coming. Listen, this is a motivation beyond that. Just the earthly stuff. This is to please our God. These words for well-pleasing is almost always used in the New Testament in reference to being acceptable or well-pleasing to God. In Romans, it's related to being a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. In Ephesians chapter 5, which I have the passage up here, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." That's my motivation. I want to prove to Him what is acceptable, what is well-pleasing. We don't work to please ourselves, we work to please our God. You know, let me ask you this. Let's just start in Taylorville, because that's where we're at. What if all the people that claim Christianity in Taylorville decided to work in order to please God? What would happen? Taylorville might actually be a great place to live. You know that sign that you drive by going to Springfield that says Taylorville, a great place to live? You know, I don't hear that much on Facebook. I don't hear it much on social media. I don't hear it in Taylorville Anonymous or in the Speak Out column or whatever it is that's there. I don't hear that much. I'm doing this because of my God. It would change a lot of perspectives, wouldn't it, folks? I want to prove what is acceptable to my God. All right, you see the rest of that verse there. And what's it saying? It's saying there in verse number 9, to please Him well in all things, not answering again. It's like, what does that mean? And the title that I put for that point is to be respectful. I said, what do you mean? What do you think not answering again is? Okay? It means don't talk back. Don't mouth off. Don't be argumentative. Some parents are looking at their children at this point, right? But you know, I wonder where the children get it from. It's got to be their school teachers, right, Jackie? It's got to be their... Barry? Get it from Barry, I think. It's got to be our school system. That's why my kid mouths off. I wonder if they start seeing it in the home with their own parents. I wonder if Riley, Ken, and Reagan see Taylor being argumentative and talking back. Do we need to say anything? That could be the question. Well, you haven't met my boss. I don't have to. It doesn't say, depending on who your boss is, don't answer again. It just says, not answering again. See, what I struggle with is my own self-centeredness. Does anybody else struggle with that? Okay? Any other sinners in here today? Self-centeredness? Self-elevation? I want my own way. Anybody ever have a problem wanting my own way? See, I was told that I can have it my own way. Is that Burger King? All those commercials that I watch, they said, have it your way? Perfect. Disney told me that whatever I dream, I can be. Perfect. I was trained well. So when I get told that I have to change out a toilet, have it my own way doesn't really work out, does it? The self-centeredness and the self-elevation, all of a sudden that backs off, and I can't respond. And like, do you know who you're talking to? Do you know what my last name is? Try to pronounce it. Go ahead. Good luck. It doesn't matter. Do you know how much I make? I am not that peasant. And just how many times do we lift ourselves up to a place where we should never be? We're talking behind each other's backs. And this is easy, folks, isn't it? Isn't it so natural just to talk, just to discredit, just to ream someone underneath your breath? Isn't it just so easy to do? Or am I the only sinner in here? This is the sin that we deal with on a constant basis, and we've been called to be something else. When we speak sound doctrine in every matter of our life, the Bible, the Word of God should affect us and help us to become more respectful in how we respond. And maybe, just maybe, if we as adults can start responding in a better way, our children would have a good example. Anybody ever work in the restaurant industry? Do you have more problems with older people or younger people? Don't answer that. Just saying. We are very good at complaining. Anybody been in a fast food drive-thru lately and wondered why it's called fast food? Anybody? I'm just saying the little things in life that we deal with. And those that we come in contact with, and our respectfulness is absolutely gone. Because I am an American. My name is Taylor. I am twice your age. Has any younger people ever heard this? I have underwear older than you. Don't talk to me like that. Why do we say that? It's so weird. But our respect for other people, you know where all that comes from? Whether we believe that that person was created in the image of God or not. And guess where that says it? Genesis chapter 1. God decided that humanity was supposed to be created in the Trinity's image. Oh, stop it right now. I can't take any more. Don't we struggle with this? What about going into verse 10? Here's a word that you use so much. Not purloining, okay? Anybody use that word lately? Okay, all right. So we shouldn't be doing this. But he's called to them to not purloin. So what's this talking about? It's to not withhold or steal. The positive side of that is to be honest in your work, to be honest in what you do. Slaves in this time would often steal from their own masters. Okay. But you know what? That isn't limited to this time period. I think this is also continued in today's world, and I think it works itself out in different ways. Now, I'm just gonna state a few things, and we'll see how this works. Right? Do you show up on time? Do you leave on time? Those are two big, simple ones, right there. You say, well, what if I'm like 2 minutes late? That's not when you were called into work, right? Do you show on time? Do you leave on time? Well, wait a minute. The punch out allows for 3 minutes and it still counts the full hour. Anybody ever deal with that before? What if I just borrow something from the workplace? I mean, they don't need this pencil. Let's just use that one. They don't need the stapler. Be honest. You know, when I worked at the factory, you know what really irked me? And this is just one of my fleshly moments, okay? I had a coworker right next to me that loved to take smoke breaks. Okay? Now for a non-smoker, that means I didn't get those breaks. I just kept working. But you know, he'd take his sweet time out, going, taking a smoke break. And that happened more and more often. And I just kept being more and more alone, trying to do my job. And you know, it started to tick me off a little bit, just in my flesh. Just in my flesh, it started to tick me off a little bit. And you say, I don't smoke. How many times do you go to the bathroom when you don't need to go to the bathroom? Oh, but I just need a break from these people. Come on. I got to check my social media. I got to get up, you know, like on what's going on. I just mentioning a few things I think we all kind of deal with in just the little things that we don't think about when we're not being honest in our work. It should not be on a Christian's resume that we were a cheat, that we stole. We should just do the job that we've been called to do because we want to honor God. That's the way the doctrine of God affects our everyday life. It affects us every single day. So be honest, okay? Be honest. Next thing in verse 10, you go on and then it says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. All good fidelity. You say, well, that's the name of my investment person, right? No, it's being faithful, okay? Being faithful, loyal, dependable. We need to be dependable. We need to show up. We need to be in. We need to be trustworthy. When we say we're going to do something, we do it. Faithfulness, trustworthiness, loyalty is in short supply, isn't it? I imagine if we go and invite any employer today to come in and to testify of this, they're probably struggling with this very thing. Faithfulness, loyalty, dependability. If we say we're going to do it, if we're going to get it done in a timely fashion. Do the best of your ability. We need to be honest. We need to do the job that God has called us to do. You say, God called me to clean toilets or to bus tables or to. If that's what is in your life, that's what God has called you to do. And be the best you can be because of God. Why? Why all of this? You go into the end of verse 10, it says that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. This goes all the way back to the older men that it talks about, the older women, the younger men. It's going to talk about being a good citizen in chapter 3. We're going to do all of these things. It doesn't matter who we are or what circumstances we're in. We're doing it all to adorn the doctrine of God. We want them to be able to see who we serve. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school classes. So why are we having all the problems in our society today? Is it because the Christians just have given up on evangelizing? Going and sharing the gospel because it's just too uncomfortable? I would dare say that that might be it. But you know what? One of the best ways to evangelize is to do these things. Because, you know, faithfulness, you don't find that within yourself. It never states in here, look within your heart and find faithfulness. Look within your heart and find respect. Look within your heart and find loyalty and honesty. It never says that. It says, adorn the doctrine of God. Take on the word. Live that out. May everything about you, every part of your conversation, be sound doctrine. Let the word affect every part of our lives. And so that those who are right next to us, they can't help but ask us, are you a Christian? When's the last time you've been asked that? Well, I'm retired, so I really don't have a lot of people that I talk with. It's very limited. Maybe my doctor or nurse that I go to appointments with, or my local Mickey Donald's crew, you know, that I go and hang out with. And you say, so what about them? What about all those people that you see? Your cashier that's checking you out at Wally World, the cashier at McDonald's. Those are around you. They notice what's going on. You notice what you wear. See, kids, they care what they wear, right? What do they want to wear? Under Armour? Is that still a thing, right? Okay, Under Armour, right? Because, you know, it's costly. A clearance? Did somebody say clearance? Okay, yeah, good. Yeah. If you can find Under Armour on clearance, praise the Lord, right? They want to wear Hey Dudes because they're comfortable and it's like walking on clouds, right? Yeah? Yeah, I got sucked into that one. It's nice, okay? You want to wear these nice things when you're getting ready for school. Anybody spend a hefty budget on school supplies lately, okay? And on clothes, and they want to wear what's fancy. And you know what? That was last year, Dad. That was last year. Why did you just buy a whole new wardrobe? That was last year, Dad. I can't wear that anymore. What do you mean you can't wear that anymore? It doesn't even... We bought that with holes. You didn't even earn those holes. What do you mean? I can't do that. They'll notice what I'm wearing. It can't be great value brand, sure. No. No! They'll be able to tell that I got that at Goodwill or the Shadow Box. They could tell. I can't do that. People notice. People notice what we wear and how we wear it. Why am I saying this to you? Because people notice when we wear the doctrine of God. When we wear Jesus, when we have a flag to fly, when our banner is God, they know who we fight for. They know who we stand for. Is it Jesus Christ? Or is it just Taylor? Fill in the blank. God has called us to something much greater than who we are, and that is to live His way to glorify Him because of all that He has done for us. And you'll notice in the next couple of verses, which I won't get into, it's all based on His grace. Grace. Past, present, and future grace that He gives to us. We should be motivated to adorn the doctrine of God. So how are we doing, folks? Are we doing good? Still need some work? Are we doing okay? All right, let's pray. God, we thank You so much for all that You've done for us and continue to do. And God, this was tough. This is tough because it's the things that we deal with on a day by day basis in our work fields and in school, in retirement, and whatever it might be. God, sometimes we just struggle with honesty and dependability and submission. God, help us to look at the little things that we just pass over. Stop saying that it's an acceptable sin and start living in the right way. And God, help us to be a church that exhorts one another. God, it's hard. It's uncomfortable to stand up and say, hey, let's not talk about this. God, it's uncomfortable to step out and battle that flesh that we deal with every single day. But let us be a church that keeps one another accountable, that we just step up and do what you called us to do based on all the grace that you do give us. God, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Just take a few moments.